thanks for listening to Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. And now, back to the man who never talks with food in his mouth, David Craig.
Okay, here we are. We're back on Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan. I am David Craig. Thank you for listening. If you would, please spread the word to your friends and neighbors and tell them that we're doing this show. And I want to say thanks to the folks who've offered nice comments during the past few days that I've run into. It's like, hey, I heard you over on 590 doing that show. Well, thank you for listening. I'll mention again, we are online at foodtalkstl.com. Twitter handle is foodtalkstl. And we're also on Facebook. Joining me now in studio is Suzanne Corbett, whom I've known for a long, long time. Thank you for coming into the radio station,
hey,
Suzanne.
It's great to come and nosh and talk food.
Well, thank you for being here. I'm trying to remember how long I've known. It's been probably since shortly after I moved here. You have written for a lot of publications.
Oh, yes. Local, national pubs like Victoria Magazine. Done work for Better Homes and Gardens, Midwest Living. In fact, the best of Midwest Living that's coming out. Check that out, because I wrote the spiel about Missouri and St. Louis, and of course I included food in that.
This is not the Midwest Traveler. This is Midwest Living.
Midwest Living through Meredith Publications.
Now,
but I also do Traveler also.
This is the AAA magazine. If you're a AAA member, you get the magazine every couple of months. And what kind of stuff have you had in there lately?
Oh, my goodness. I have something that's coming up on Orange Beach about turtles and just all kinds of the ecotourism things that are going on there. But, of course, when I'm there, I'm always eating. Love to hit the great seafood that's there, the red royal shrimp, that just happens to be one of the recommended foods that you have to eat before you die when you go into Alabama.
Well, yeah, you're talking about Alabama and down by Gulf Shores, which I know my family has gone to vacations in Gulf Shores probably five or six times over the last 10 or 12 years. And it's a lot of people from St. Louis go to Destin and other spots there along the, what they call it, the Redneck Riviera.
Oh, yes.
That's what they used to call it. But there's a lot of people down there who have a lot of money. Some of those condos in Gulf Shores can get pretty expensive. Now, did you get to tour recently a lot of Alabama, or did you mostly just go down to the coast?
Well, I was in the coast, but about a year ago, I started my trek from Muscle Shoals all the way through the state, eating barbecue and taking in the blues and just finding some of the greatest little historical dives and diners and great restaurants that are all throughout the state that feature some of the best down-home food that you could ever sink your teeth in, like chocolate gravy for breakfast. I'm sure you've had some of that.
No, I haven't had
you
that.
You haven't had any
I've
of that?
I've never had chocolate gravy for breakfast.
But you told me that you were from Birmingham.
I am, yes.
Well, I bet you've had a slaw dog.
No, I can't say that I have.
From Pete's Famous Hot Dogs? That's one of the must places that you have to eat.
Well, I used to get them from Sneaky Pete's. I don't know if that's the same guy.
Well, maybe Pete was sneaking around, but it's Pete's Famous Hot Dogs.
Now, Sneaky Pete's was a pretty good lunch place back way back in the day, yes.
Oh, that's a great place. And so is Throw Bridges, which is in Florence. And they're known for their orange pineapple ice cream.
Oh, that sounds good.
And that was established in 1918. And what I loved about it was like the first cousin to the Crown Candy here. You walk in, it's an old drugstore kind of a place with all this homemade ice cream, great sandwiches. But instead of the BLTs, they've got what they have. Their claim to fame is the pimento cheese sandwich. You follow that up with their ice cream, it's a winner.
Sounds great. Okay, Suzanne has been all over Alabama. They're having a thing. Is it currently underway? What's it called? The Year of Alabama Food, or is it just?
Well, 2012 is the Year of Alabama Food, and you can check it out at theyearofalabamafood.com and get all the 100 top places where they feel you have to eat before you die. Although, if you get into the state and you start to cruise around and nosh from here and there, I'm sure there's like 500 places you really need to eat.
I can go to my relatives down there, and they can tell me all of the top places that get all the attention. And then, you know, here's a little meat and three that you need to go to that's out in the middle of the woods.
Meat and threes. I love meat and threes.
Well, and for people who don't know exactly what it is, when you refer to a meat and three, which are all over the South and Texas and stuff.
A meat and three is you have your main course, which which is a meat, and you've got to have three sides.
Yeah.
In fact, my mother was from Texas, and we always had our meat in threes. You couldn't have a dinner or a lunch without your three side meals. I mean, you've had to have three different side dishes to make that meal complete.
Did you go to Nicky's West on Findlay Avenue in Birmingham?
I miss Nicky's West. Well, what did I miss there?
Oh, that's one of my dad's favorites. It's a meat and three kind of place. Well, let's get back to 2012 and St. Louis and Mardi Gras today. Thank you for giving up the parade. You would have been down there, I'm sure, throwing and catching beads.
Oh, no, I would have been down there cooking some boudin.
What is that?
Oh, boudin is that wonderful French sausage that's based with rice, and sometimes it'll have pork, sometimes it'll have crawfish, and it's highly spiced. It's wonderful. Absolutely great. Here, a lot of times you'll find it where they'll take it, they'll bread it, and they'll deep fry it. In fact, that was a recipe that one of your guests last week, Chef John.
Oh, John Johnson from the
Lumiere.
Yeah.
I think he won that along with a few other recipes at the Cajun Cook-Off. It was great. But boudin is wonderful. You can't have a Cajun throwdown without some boudin and a little bit of gumbo. And this is a time when you want to go out and start begging for some gumbo. Do you know how to beg for gumbo?
I don't exactly know. How do you do that?
Well, first off, you need to get a flatbed truck and a good band, and you take off down the road with a lot of your friends, and you beg from house to house to house to house for ingredients for your communal gumbo pot.
This is a New Orleans tradition?
Well, actually, it's Cajun tradition. You have to go out into Cajun country around Lafayette and Eunice. And it is a great tradition. And if they happen to find a chicken, if somebody donates a chicken, and they'll dance and they'll sing. And, I mean, that is the prize. You get chicken, you get sausages and rice.
Now, the gumbo recipe that you gave me that I have now posted on Food Talk STL, that would be a Cajun gumbo recipe.
Right. I called it a potluck recipe because you never know what you're going to find to put in the pot when you go begging.
Now, here's a question for you, Suzanne. When you make gumbo, do you make it extremely spicy? Is it one of those things where, you know, you get tears in your eyes? Or do you say, okay, well, let's make it kind of mild because, you know, my mother-in-law may want some?
Well, it depends on your relationship with your mother-in-law, doesn't it now? You know, when I cook any kind of spicy food, whether it be Cajun or Southwest or whatever, I like to cook it for my own personal taste, which is a little bit on the spicy side, and I can kick it up when I want to. I can always add more spice, but cooking bland, it's not my style.
But you found, I'm sure, in St. Louis that different people, you know, you can say this is really spicy, and somebody will say that's not spicy, and then somebody else will say, oh, that's, yeah, why did you put so much stuff in there? So it's you know, the tolerance level I find varies greatly among St. Louisans.
Well, I think though it has a lot to do with the education and how much spices that you were subjected to when you were growing up. But I've taught cooking for a number of years at the community college and at Dierbergs, and my students are always amazed at how the amount of spice that you can use into a dish, when they taste it, they'll say, oh, I thought it was going to be a lot spicier or hot. And it's all in the balance. It's striking that balance to educate the palate.
Wonderful. Suzanne Corbett is visiting with me here on Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS. I'm David Craig, and you also gave us a couple of nice recipes. The Lenten season is about to begin. Passed a couple of Catholic churches on my way here, and the big signs are already up. Fish fry Friday, 4:30 to 7:30. And by the way, I'll mention on behalf of those churches, you don't have to be Catholic to stop in for those Lenten fish fries. And some are great. Some, in fact, I remember
one of them. Love them. Particularly the Mexican fish fries at St. Cecilia's. Oh, that's fantastic.
No, okay. That one, which church is that? Where is that?
It's St. Cecilia's.
That'd be down by Cherokee Street?
It's off of Louisiana.
Okay.
I guess that's close to Cherokee. Southside St. Louis.
And they have a Mexican fish fry.
They have a Mexican fish fry. It's a wonderful tradition that they've been able to incorporate the new community, the Hispanic community is in. And what they've done is that they utilize some of the great Mexican foods like chiles rellenos and cheese quesadillas and cheese tamales, along with the classic Southside square fried fish and maybe some shrimp on the side with great homemade salsa. Oh, It's fantastic. It's great.
Okay, my mouth
is
watering.
Well, aren't you hungry?
Oh, yeah, my mouth is watering just hearing about this. The recipes that we have posted, we have a cioppino recipe.
Cioppino, yeah.
What's the difference in cioppino and bouillabaisse? I don't really know.
Location.
Are they interchangeable? One creamier than another? Well, I mean, I don't know.
Well, you talk to a Frenchman and they'll get very upset. You talk to someone in San Francisco, which is Italian or Portuguese. Now, mm-hmm. The recipe I have came from Italian-Portuguese mix.
Okay.
Who actually, it came from Teresa Franzia, with the Franzia wine industry. They were friends of the family. Mm-hmm. And when I first started my cooking career, she gave me her recipe for cioppino. And she says, you've got to do it right and make sure you don't spare the wine. And she used white wine when she did hers. And if you look at a lot of the classic French recipes for bouillabaisse, you don't see wine in that. And also, the bouillabaisse will have more of the classic Provençal herbs,
mm-hmm.
a little milder, where the San Francisco cioppino, it's going to be a little bit more jumping in your face and in your mouth with basil and what have you.
For folks who like cioppino, I've had a really good one at Lo Russo's.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, at Faust, that used to be at Adams Mark way back when. And
which Faust, the first or the second one? You know, I do food history.
Not the one from the 1800s.
Oh, okay.
This would have been in the 90s.
Okay.
And also
the 1990s.
Cardwell's at the Plaza, I had a nice fish stew, and I don't know if they still offer that, but that was, again, that would have been in a previous decade. And you also gave a recipe for New England clam chowder, which I guess in my house we've usually just gotten it out of a can. But I'm sure that your fresh is much better. What do you have any tips or any guidance for folks who might go to our website and take note of that recipe?
Well, you know, I love a good, thick, rich, creamy clam chowder, a New England style. You know, you don't want to confuse it with the Manhattan because that's a stock base with tomatoes. And mm-hmm. I look at that and I think, what happened here? Because it's all about the cream and it's all about the butter when you come to a New England clam chowder. And what I make sure the secret to that is don't skimp on that. You want it nice, thick, and rich. And make sure you put enough clams in there. You don't want to have a clam chowder that you can't find the clams with the potatoes. It's like, oh, come on. I need to see the clams. And I don't want them swimming by and waving.
It's like when you go up to a place and order crab cakes, and it's mostly, you know, just, it's meal. And it's like, wait a minute, you forgot to put the crab in.
That's it.
Well, Suzanne Corbett, thank you very much for visiting and chatting with us here. You did provide some great recipes, which, like I said, are posted on foodtalkstl.com. We have a recipe tab up at the top. You can click on that. And you have a book that you wrote a few years ago about Soulard Market, and I saw it's available on Amazon. There are used copies available from $367 to $227.
We'll go for the $227 one.
Well, you don't get any of that, I'm sure.
No, I don't, but, you know, I'd be happy to sign it twice for that.
And the name of the book is?
Pushcarts and Stalls, a Soulard Market History Cookbook.
And you have a lot of recipes in there?
Oh, farm recipes. I grew up on a Southside truck farm.
Do you have, like, copies of that book in your trunk that you sell? You
know, no,
anywhere?
I don't.
Okay, so you'd need to go to Amazon or
need
to a
go
used
to
bookstore
Amazon.
To grab
but we
it.
Got some other things that are cooking up along the way, so but we'll tell you about those later.
Okay, Suzanne Corbett, thank you for visiting with us this morning on 590 The Fan on Food Talk STL. We'll come back and wrap things up with the show here in just a moment. Thank you for listening.